It's good to be with all of you this morning. It's good to see each one of you. I really am encouraged from the bottom of my heart. I say this from time to time, but I'm encouraged by each precious soul who's decided to be here this morning. There's so many things going on in the world, so many places that you can be, and for whatever reason, you've determined your heart to be here, to sing songs of praise to God, to study a portion of His Word, and as a speaker, to stand up and to see all of you is so encouraging to me, and I thank you for your presence. And I hope that all that I have to say is according to the will of God and will serve Him in His purpose. I hope that this is an encouraging lesson for you and that it's helpful for you as you consider God, all that He is and all that He expects from each one of us. If you would, open your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to read a few verses from Hebrews 5 in just a moment. The title of our lesson is By This Time. And we'll take those words from Hebrews chapter 5. I think it's important to state and to make note here before we begin the reading that the Hebrew writer, as he's writing to those who would be Jews who've been converted to Christianity, they have a lot going on in their lives. They have a lot they are probably wrestling with. And so the writer is trying to get them to hold fast to the truth, to assure them and reassure them of what God had promised and all that's been accomplished. But in Hebrews chapter 5, just before our reading, the writer tries to make the point and builds a beautiful case to show who Christ is. He is our high priest. But the writer will say that Jesus Christ is the high priest, the one and only. Now, the Hebrew would naturally say, how can that be? He's from the tribe of Judah. Priests of God can only come from the tribe of Levi. And so there would be a fundamental problem for the Hebrew who would be reading this. But the writer makes the point that he is a high priest as the same or in the same order of Melchizedek. And so if you look at verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 5, he says, speaking of Jesus, having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. We got a serious problem now. We have much to say about the priesthood, his order, that it's the same as Melchizedek, but we can't go any further with you because you're dull of hearing. Now, if I hear that, someone says that to me, first of all, I'm a little offended. I want to know, what does that mean, dull of hearing? I have a hearing problem. It's a condition of my heart. What is it exactly that the person is saying? Well, let's read it together. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so there is the correction. We can't share these greater truths of God with you because you can't take them. You're not able, you're not capable to receive the solid food, the solid meat of the Word. We want to share these things with you, but you are slow. You are dull of hearing. You are still babes. That should be a stinger for any Christian who's been a Christian for any amount of time to hear that there's more that God wants you to know, a greater understanding for you to build upon and to develop yourself, but you're not ready. You can't have this just yet. And I want to consider this idea with all of us this morning because I think we should be challenged by it. We should consider it and just say, where am I? Where am I on the scale? What I've tried to do is to show a graph here. I love graphs. There are several people here, and number one is where the baptism took place. They have an understanding. They believe in Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. They've obeyed the gospel. But the Bible refers to them as babes, babes in Christ who need milk. And so if you watch the green one here, this individual has obeyed the gospel. They're increasing in faith, in wisdom, in spiritual stature. They continue to increase a little, but they're starting to fade now in their development. And then something happens in their life. And they seem to take a nosedive. Just follow that green line. They go down below what they understood and what they knew at the point they were baptized, the belief and the confidence that they have. Do you know that this happens? Do you know that this happens? It does. And yet God's word hasn't changed. Why? Why does it happen? And the better question is this me? Does the green line represent who I am? I have here for us, you can't see it on this side, but the time that I obeyed the gospel and the time that I've been given to understand the gospel. Where we want to be is on the yellow line, right? Where this person is baptized at level one. We see them increasing. I've got the dates down here for you. I went 04 all the way to 14. This individual is increasing in knowledge and understanding and spiritual wisdom. They're growing and developing according to the plan of God. We have the blue one, which seems relatively obvious. They skyrocketed early. They fell drastically. And then they got corrected somehow. They said, I'm not going to do this anymore. I need to be restored to the Lord's church. I need to do what's right. And they began to grow and increase again. And I would praise God for that. If an individual falls, to turn back to the Lord because he waits and begs and pleads for them to return to them. The Hebrews, from what I understand from what's written to them, they are the red line. They receive the gospel, they understand it, they began to develop, but then they stopped and they kind of just coast here. And then they begin to kind of sag where there no new instruction can be given. You should be teachers by this time, but now we're going to have to back up and start over. And so there is a real problem. And I only submit the graph to you this morning so that we can look at it and just take an honest look for yourself. Think about your life, who you are, what you've done, and say, which one am I? And maybe more importantly than which one am I is which one do I desire to be? And will I determine to do that for the rest of my life? Will I set my heart to that goal? We all want to be yellow. We all want our lives to look like that. On the scale from the days that God has given to us to serve Him. The statement from the Hebrew writer is, you ought to be teachers. I want to show you in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll use Hebrews 5 for our study, but let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We know that 1 and 2 Timothy are letters from the Apostle Paul written to young Timothy, an evangelist. He is encouraging Timothy to hold fast to the truth, to preach the gospel, to preach the word of God in season and out of season. But I want us to take note of some things that he says to Timothy that tie in very well about being a teacher, being able to explain God's truth to others. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And so there's a teaching principle laid out here for Timothy. Here's how you do it. Take the things that I gave you, the words that I instructed you with, and you turn to other men, and you teach them. They, after receiving your word and your instruction, can then turn and teach others also. And it will spread with the fervor and the excitement that we have in the gospel. It will spread like wildfire, and no man can stop it. If you have the faith and the confidence you need, and you are capable of teaching someone else that which you have received and believe in yourself, you have the power of God in your heart and in your hands. We have but to go out and to do it. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. We'll see again this idea, this concept of teaching. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24, Paul says, a servant of the Lord, that covers all of us who have obeyed the gospel. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. A servant of the Lord must be patient, able to teach. And so what does that mean? Is the Bible saying, I know Paul's talking to Timothy here, but he's saying now in a general sense, a servant of the Lord needs to look like this. Everyone in this room who understands what the gospel says and has obeyed that gospel should be able to teach others. It's not always standing up in a public forum, on a platform, and saying, okay, I am now qualified to teach. I've been deemed worthy. It is, do you understand that's what you have obeyed, and are you teaching others? It happens in every step, in every moment of your life. You are showing someone what you believe and where your confidence is. You should be able to teach, not quarreling, not looking for fights, not arguing with everybody, but be prepared. Say something important to someone who needs to hear it. We're given situations every day with people who have trouble in their lives, or they have a question or a concern, and we need to be ready to say, you know, there's a verse that deals directly with what you're talking about. Have I taught them something? If they're listening, Am I able to teach without fighting with them? Yes, in that example, I have shared something with them that they can take and absorb and think about God for themselves. We have to be able to teach. If you call yourself a servant of the Lord, you need to be teaching others about the faith, the confidence, the passion that you have. Because if you can't or you won't, then it's not a passion. It is something you merely do out of routine, and it is not where it should be in my life when I stand in that place. Look at Titus chapter 1 with me. We'll go over one page, maybe two, depending on the size of your type and text in your Bible. Titus chapter 1, verse 7. Now, this is qualifications for elders. But again, I think this helps us see the point of being able to teach, understanding the truth. Titus chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "For a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict." This man must hold fast the faithful word that he has been taught so that he can teach others, rebuke, convince, exhort someone, encourage someone to get back on the path, stay with the truth, don't get off the plan. This man must know the truth in order to do that correctly and in order to do it according to God's will. So, the challenge is there for all of us. By this time, that's the title of the sermon. I don't know where you are in your timeline since your conversion, since you faithfully obeyed the gospel, or if you have. But if you have, you know that timeline. By this time, you ought to be sharing. You ought to be teaching others. The reprimand that we see in the verses that we read in Hebrews chapter 5 is that you have come to need milk. So, in other words, this Christian who is growing, developing, moving along has all of a sudden taken two steps back, and we're going to have to start feeding them milk again. We're going to have to start over. The basic principles of Christ. You have come to need milk and not solid food. You know, the idea of babes in Christ, babes partaking of milk, you know it's given to us in Scripture several times? I want to share a couple of those with you because I think we'll see that there is a condition that the Christian is in that the Bible takes note of. It should not be an embarrassing thing to be a babe in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, the Apostle Peter, by the inspiration of God, says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." So Peter says that you're newborn babes in the truth, but you should be desiring that milk so that you might grow. And that fits the same exact point that we see in Hebrews chapter 5. You're going to grow and develop. You'll be able to take more meat as you develop. There's a process that takes place. There is no shame in being a babe in Christ or not knowing all the verses that you would like to know. The shame comes, the rebuke comes, when the timeline has passed and you have remained stagnant and still not ready to share that which you've come to hold dear in your own heart. That is not good, brothers and sisters, that is not good. And let me say to you that we can all test ourselves right now. Can you go through an example in your daily life where someone says something or something comes up? You know yourself better than anyone. Are you ready? Are you looking for those moments? It's a challenge. It's tough. But we need to answer this question for ourselves. Do we need milk or are we ready for solid food? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll see that the Apostle Paul, now this is not good, by the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, this is a different position than what Peter was taking, looking at a babe in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 3, the church at Corinth should be further along than they are. They are carnal in their nature, and Paul is rebuking them. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." Does that sound familiar, what we read in Hebrews chapter 5? I can't speak to you in such a way that I desire. Well, I'm not going to talk to you on spiritual terms because you're not ready for that. You are babes in Christ in verse 1. "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. For even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? There's another test for us. Is there strife between us? Is there controversy? Are we bickering over things that we have no business bickering over? Are we abandoning God's plan for our lives as individuals and as a church so that we can win our battle and our little fight we got going on? You are failing God. You are failing Him in your service if you are caught in that place. I can't give you these greater thoughts and ideas of spiritual truth because you cannot take them. You are not ready. You wouldn't know what to do with them if we gave them to you. Now, there's a principle laid out here, and this is one of the main reasons, at least in my mind, we're all different. This is one of my main reasons why I love Scripture. What God does is He challenges us something with the spiritual side of our life, who we should be and what it should look like, and then He ties it to something physical that we can all understand. That's why the Lord blesses us with kids. Because then He says, hey, you have kids. Here's what you look like. This is what I see when I see you. I see your four-year-old sometimes. But He wants us to grow and to develop. So, we have children in this congregation we can take note of this morning. E.J. Holt. If you haven't seen that baby, I don't know what you're doing, because that is a beautiful, beautiful baby girl. Would anyone here take E.J. for steak for lunch? If you try, Mom's not letting her go. She's not ready for steak. She's desires, sincerely desires the pure milk. Is EJ growing? You better believe she is, just as it was set up. What about Colby? Colby's not on milk anymore. Another beautiful young girl that blesses us with her attendance. She doesn't need milk. She can still have milk, but she's been given heavier foods, things she can chew on with the teeth that God's given to her. And those of you who have been parents, you know that very scary moment when your child looks at you at the dinner table and their face is blood red and like... Now, you know they're choking. By the way, this is a helpful hint to all parents. If your child says to you, I'm choking, they're not choking because they're still breathing. But when they go... They are choking, and you need to do something immediately. That is not the time to say, by this time, you should be consuming meat. That's not going to be good for them. You got to back up, remove the item that's blocked their wind path. Then you can lecture them after that about chew your food. There's a principle there we all understand in our daily life. Don't you see? Don't you see the beauty of what God's saying to us? We can take this timeline and say, I should be further along. Instead, have I come to need milk again? Are my teeth missing? Why? Why am I not stronger? And there's another important point in Hebrews chapter 5 that we have to consider. He says, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. To me, this says it all. How do I get stronger? How can I get myself in a position where I'm ready to take the deeper and more powerful spiritual truths that the Lord wants me to take and to receive, the meat of the Word, so that I can grow and be even stronger? How do I do that? How do I build myself up? By reason of use. There is a determination in all of our lives to have your face in God's book, to be reading the Scriptures, to make application in your life, to grow, to develop, to change the things that need to be changed, to know that you're being patted on the back and you're being encouraged in the things that you are doing right, to confirm that God's truth is eternal, it is certainly true, and it is there for us that we might grow. We should not, many of us, should not still be partaking of the milk. We should be ready, prepared, and excited to take on the heavier things in the Bible. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 with me. I really want to encourage you in this lesson. I want you to be thinking about all that we've read this morning in the Scriptures, what God's Word says, our growth and our development, that as the Lord watches us, all things are naked and open to Him who sees all things. As He watches us, He wants us to grow. He wants us to develop. He wants to gain in strength and to rely on Him more and more. In 2 Peter chapter 3, now remember, this is Peter signing off. This is the last in all of Scripture that we will hear from Peter. He will face his death after this letter, as far as we know on the timeline. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, what does he tell the saints? Therefore, beloved, you hear that? He says, I love you. Therefore, here's my conclusion. Please listen, please understand. Looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Do you see what Peter said to them? He wants them to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord in verse 18. But he says to them, now, our brother Paul has written to you, and some of these things are tough. Some of this is not milk. What do other people do with the stuff that's not milk when they're not ready? They twist it, they pervert it to their own destruction. They lead others away because they're not ready, and yet they are trying to teach things they don't understand. And souls are being led away from the eternal truth of God. How in the world are we going to stop from falling into that trap? You know the answer. You must grow and develop. And when someone twists and perverts the word of God, you are quick to spot it and you say, that is not what the gospel teaches. You can say to an individual, do not take one verse and build all of your theology on that. The Bible has more to say about any given topic, salvation, the gospel, the power of God. All of these things are given to us throughout the Scriptures. We must be on guard against this very thing. Peter, by inspiration of God, warns the brethren about this problem. We do not want to be someone who does not understand the basics and find ourselves perverting the Scriptures to say what we want them to say. We understand the end of those who would do such things. We must be growing. Let's look at one more verse before we close this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, and I would encourage all of you, as you've done so well up until this point, read it with me. Thank God Almighty that we have our Bibles, that we can open them, we can read them together, that God can speak to you. I'm merely requesting that you turn to a particular passage, but this is His Word. Look at what He says to us. We've talked about the individual, but I want us to see also that as the individual grows, the church is strengthened in that, that every joint supplies, that each one of us, when we come together, because we have strengthened ourselves, we can strengthen each other. And there is a great work that is taking place in that effort. In Ephesians 4, really in the beginning of the reading, we'll just start in verse 11. It says that Christ gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's where we're headed. That's where we're going. To see that measure, to see that standard, and to strive for it. Watch verse 14. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Jesus Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What a great set of verses for us to think about and to consider when we've started with Hebrews 5. The milk, the truth, the basic principles of the teachings of Jesus Christ is the beginning. We are to understand that, to consume that, to feed on that, and to never abandon it. It'll always be true. It'll always be what we needed to get going. But now when we convert, we obey the gospel, we are to continue to grow and for that line to continue to rise, to dig deeper, to look for more, to speak to God more often. I realize as I was presenting these to you, and challenging the Christian who's baptized today that there's work to be done, and there always will be work to be done. I recognize and realize there may be someone in our number this morning who's not a member of the Lord's church. And you know what I might have done this morning? I might have caused you to think, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, I may have caused you to think, I don't want to get involved in this. This guy's going to be watching me. He wants me to grow. I don't know how fast. You know, that may be discouraging. That is not the point you should take home. The point is that God has offered you food that he wants you and expects you to feed on. Spiritual milk. That's the first step. Babes in Christ need time to grow and to develop. We can look at our children and see that. There's a process that takes place. After you confess the name of Jesus Christ and you commit to his word, then you are in line with his plan for salvation. And you dig into that word of God. You grow each and every day. You learn to trust and love God more than you did the day before. You become equipped so that you can share the truth with someone else. You know, if you obey the gospel and you love the word of God, you are destined on a path. You will bump into people for the rest of your life, and you can say to them, I want to share something with you that somebody told me. And if you don't hear anything else, hear this. It is the greatest message ever shared with all of mankind. If you are not a member of the Lord's church, you have an opportunity right now to respond to the gospel invitation, to call yourself a child of God, leave this place with peace in your heart, knowing that if Jesus Christ returns today, or if for some odd reason your life was taken, some tragic incident, you would know, because God has promised that you're going to heaven. God promises that to his precious babes in Christ who have obeyed the gospel, who have been converted by his truth. If you need to come forward, please do that. Please come forward right now while together we stand and sing to encourage you.
Lord, we